Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. Glad to be back here. I got Jill in the studio with me. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
And I think we're going to get Rick on the phone right now. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Where are you coming to us from today?
From Kelowna.
Kelowna.
West Kelowna, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Right on.
It's been a little bit cloudy the last bunch of days, so we haven't seen the sun for the last few days, but we had some. We still went on some pretty nice hikes around the trestles and the bridges and that kind of stuff here. And right now I'm looking at a whole herd of about 20 bighorn sheep about 100 yards away from me.
Oh, wow. That's pretty neat. So, we're looking at a...
The trees are just finishing dropping all their leaves, but there's still a lot of the red maples still have their leaves still on, so it looks pretty beautiful.
It's kind of a neat thing because you can chase fall west in Canada.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, I bet you right now, if you zoomed further west than you are, out to, you know, Vancouver,
the islands,
right? They're just, fall is just kind of underway there, right? There's still leaves on the trees and things like that, right?
That's correct.
Whereas, you know, Saskatchewan, we're down to the sticks right now. It's pretty brown.
When you did the trestle hike, were you able to see some of the yellow tamarack still? And
yeah, they were just finishing dropping their. Some of them still had their yellow needles on, but a lot of them had dropped their needles already, and so we're just in that sort of position. But it was still pretty nice walk. It was starting to snow when we were up there because you're up about you're up around, I think, about 2,500 feet above Kelowna. So, but it was still a nice little hike.
Well, you're looking at bighorn sheep, and we're looking at a whole lot of nothing out of our window this morning.
It's so foggy.
Very foggy. So if you're listening to us live, and this isn't a repeat at the moment, so if you're listening to us right now, you know, in the morning, just watch that highway hotline. Check that out. If you have to set out on the highway, be prepared. Keep the headlights turned on. You know, my drive into work this morning was, it was foggy. There was moments where it's not zero visibility, but a little bit lower.
Pretty close.
Yeah. So just drive safe out there if you're hitting the highway at all.
And that's a good point, Jeremy. People don't realize that their headlights are on in the daylight, but they're not their taillights. So unless you turn your switch on, not to automatic, but to on, your taillights will not be on and no one will see you in that fog.
Exactly. Go ahead, Jill.
And I wanted to say a congratulations to you and Mom. 44 years married yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So, actually, you're wrong.
I'm wrong?
It's 45.
It's 45 this year? How did I miss that? I was counting backwards in my head. I'm like, hey, Nikki's 43. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 45 years, Dad.
Wow.
That's a milestone. Congratulations.
Very cool.
So we're having lots of fun. That's what came up here to celebrate our 45th. And also a good friend of ours is with us. And it's her 65th birthday. So.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right. Well,
the exact same day.
Happy anniversary. That's great. 1-877-332-8255. Let's get the conversation going. You can join the conversation. You can text us. You can call us as well. It looks like we got Ian who's going to join us on the phones here in just a second. I wanted to know this, Jill. My wife's like, ask Jill and Rick when the Christmas greens are coming in.
So the Christmas greens were supposed to arrive on Thursday last week. They were delayed.
Supposed to?
Yeah, they were delayed. They had some troubles in the mountains with one of their cutters, so it never hit the truck this week.
Oh, no.
So they are arriving this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the store, so they'll be out on the floor for tomorrow.
For tomorrow, okay.
Yes, so the Christmas greens, everybody's getting a little anxious. You're starting to see them trickle in around the different stores and everything like that. But
do we actually have a hope of, like, it's halfway through November... Do we have a hope of actually having these things like for a month and a half stay green?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Especially if you get them into the ground. Right now, when we're seeing still the plus temperatures, you want to get them into your pots and containers outside and make sure you're watering them in a little bit or just bringing the watering can out and just getting a nice ice ball around the base of them. And then after they've frozen in, you're golden. You're good to go.
Okay, so the question I have is, are there going to be any left by next Saturday? Like if they're open, you got them unpacked and they're ready to go for tomorrow. If I get there Saturday, are there going to be anything left?
There's lots coming in and every Thursday we have shipments coming
every
in now.
Thursday.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And I found a great cutter out of British Columbia and he goes out there and cuts them fresh every week for us. So
wow.
They're literally cut the day before they hit the road. So the freshest that we can get. They make their own wreaths and garlands and everything like that. So it's really nice to work with a nice local small family.
That's cool. So you can get like loose greens, or there are fabbed
wreaths. Yeah, that you can
awesome.
Make. So they have machines that they sort of wire the greens onto, and then they loop them around and make them into a wreath. So,
cool.
Yeah.
So then you can just take the wreath, decorate it your own way.
Absolutely.
Right? That's fantastic. Okay, good to know. We had to figure that out because we're trying to make plans.
I know. I'm trying to do that as well, too. Like, I need to get my pots done up because last year the snow came so fast that I only got two pots done at the front of my house because everything else got covered in like a foot and a half of snow with that big snowfall. And so I couldn't get to those pots anymore. So this year I want to be on it, get these pots in and get going.
And you know, it's the time of season. You can hardly believe it. We've got like a month and a half to Christmas, but there's only a certain amount of weekends left now, right?
Yeah.
And there's Christmas parties. And one of those weekends, you got to put up the tree and there's that's going on. And then you got to go shopping for stuff. And like, it doesn't take long to eat up all the weekends. The six-ish weekends we've got left until Christmas. And when are we going to do that? You know, and for a lot of people, you know, you're working all day, the evenings, you're tired, you barely can get through making supper, and it's only Saturday and Sunday you got to do things.
So. Every day we get in the car for school, and my one son, he goes to me, "Mom, how many more days till Christmas?"
Very cute, very cute. Okay, let's.
And even this week, our Christmas trees show up.
Oh, yes, that too.
They're arriving tomorrow.
They're arriving tomorrow
morning. Wow. So the Christmas trees will start arriving. If people want to get them up, they might want to grab some wilt proof or some anti-desiccant to spray on their tree ahead of time. Make sure that you're putting a fresh cut right before you're putting it in the water. Or else if you want to store it in a bucket in your garage, unheated, or in a shady spot in your yard until you're ready to put it up, and then put a fresh cut in it later on too. That's also an option.
Good, good. Okay, let's get a phone call in here before we got to go to our first break. And this is Ian, who's in Saskatoon. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm okay. Yourself?
Too bad. Not too bad. What's your question for us today?
Well, last week I asked Rick a question about watering trees and stuff. And he said, well, the frost is only down an inch or so. So tomorrow is still supposed to be 4 or 5, and then it's supposed to go down like -9, -7, -9. So we were down to like -15, I think. Would the ground be frozen? I tomorrow is probably the last day I'm going to be able. I've been so busy to water in my trees. Is it too late?
Just take a rod or something like that and poke the soil. And it all depends on how moist the soil was before, whether you can dig. But I know that there were some in our area. They were putting in some gas lines, and they were just digging like it was not even frost in the ground at all. So, but they had equipment in that. But I mean, so just probe the soil. If the soil still be able to stick a probe into it, then absolutely water. But if it's frozen a couple inches down already, you're probably not going to get the water down anymore.
Okay. I heard you guys just mention that the trees, hi Joe, that the Christmas trees are coming in tomorrow morning. So if you don't mind my asking, roughly, like, how much is a tree? Like, let's say you want to get a 7-footer. Is it like $100, more than that?
Yeah, you're looking at about $89 to $129, depending on the tree. That's for about a 6 to 7 foot.
Looking at artificial trees yesterday, those things are like anywhere from like $700 to $1,500 for an artificial tree, and people tend to replace their trees every 8-10 years. And I'm thinking, if I'm not spending $1,500 on an artificial tree, if I can get a real one every year for $100.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you get the smell of it and a little bit of nostalgia to go pick it up. Yeah, it's a great tradition.
I do have to ask, maybe you have some suggestions. What do you do when you have a cat that wants to climb up into the center, like go down underneath with a real tree? Are cats attracted to the smell of trees or like... Maybe I should phone SPCA or something.
You know what? I don't have a cat myself. Rick, have you had any customers come in that have had success? But maybe we could throw that out to the listeners, too, and see if anybody's got any comments for us.
Yeah. Number one is that they're curious. So if you've got something new and you've got those little shiny balls in them, that they're just, especially depending on the age of the cat, I mean, they're curious. So they want to climb something, just like you put a cat tree in your house for the cats, and they like to climb. So the biggest thing is make sure you have a very good stand that can hold that tree up. It has, you know, that good peg in the bottom, because that's important that it doesn't, you know, you have the little screws on the side, but it has to have a really good peg on the bottom to keep it from swimming.
Yeah, we bought a heavy metal.
Yeah,
it sounds like it looks ugly, but it looks nice. But it's a solid metal. And what was that spray that you mentioned, Jill? Is it, you spray something on your trees?
Yeah, it's called Wilt Proof or an anti-desiccant spray. So it just basically is like a waxy spray. You spray on the needles, and you want to do it in plus temperature. So I would put a tarp out or a piece of plastic in the garage and spray it down in the garage first, and then let it dry and bring it into the house. And it's going to seal up the pores of those needles so that they're not going to perspire.
I've done the same thing with actually the live greens that went into my pots outside, and it's kept them for months, even in the outdoors.
It really works.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. Okay.
Yeah, bring stuff. Thanks, Ian. Take care.
Yep.
1-877-332-8255. I'm thinking even maybe, like, what if you could get with the cat issue? Now, we'll get some callers and some textures
to see what some callers have to say about this.
I know there's that old trick that, say, you got a cat that jumps up on the counter, right? And you lay out sheets of tin foil, and they don't like that. They jump right off the counter. Maybe there's some, like, crinkly Christmas wrapping or crinkly Christmas decorations that you could put underneath the tree. Just thinking here, something
so
that actually still
actually
look,
get to the
well,
tree.
Yeah, that they don't want to walk on to be able to climb up the tree. That something that would still look nice as a bit of a like a tree skirt.
Have you seen cats leap though? They'll just leap on.
Well,
the
is
tree.
That? I don't know. Put the cat in a different room. I don't know.
You might have put an anchor on the wall too. You know, just like a picture hook. You know, and tie it up too.
Yeah, and then that's when I call them my my. Shatterproof ornaments.
Yeah, not grandma's antiques on that tree.
Or the other thing too is make sure you get some nice like florist wire or zip ties, and you can zip tie or wire your ornaments to your tree so they're not going to fall off.
Not going to come off. Can't come off. Yeah.
Or even your hooks, just give them a little pinch rather than just set them on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we are going to get to the text line in a second. One from Sue and one from Jamie here. So we'll talk about that in a second. We got to go to a break. More to come. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. It is a very foggy start to Sunday morning. We got to say, hey, look, I just decided where are you wearing?
Green is your color.
Green is the color today, right? this is Grey Cup weekend. I think it's hilarious that we're sticking it to Winnipeg that we're in the Grey Cup in their city. That is poetic justice at its finest. Rick, you got any green over there besides the trees?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of, actually, it's quite amazing. There's lots of Rough Rider fans out in BC and Kelowna area here. So it's quite some, you go into some of the wineries and even the servers are there saying, go Riders.
Really?
Once they find out we're from Saskatchewan.
Well, you got to think that you'd hope that at least most of the West, there will be some diehard fans, you know, in Calgary and in Winnipeg and in places. But do you think most people get on the bandwagon of, well, we're going to support the Western team, you know, across Western Canada? That's pretty typical, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think that the stadium in Winnipeg is going to be absolutely loaded with green because it's just a drive, you know, like our team is playing in the Grey Cup just a drive away.
Yeah.
So,
that's pretty great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Go Riders, go. Let's go to the text line right now, 1-877-332-8255. This is, let's see if it's a two-part text or not. Says, love your show. Thanks for giving a lot of your Sunday to do this. Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks very much. This is Jamie and Watson, who's one of our regulars. I have a question about a peony I put in this fall. It got a heavy dump of snow on it, and it bent over the main stem. What can I expect for this plant long term? Is there anything I should do? Should I stake it and have it stand up straight? Let me know how to take care of this, now that this has happened.
Well, one thing with peonies is they're a perennial. So that means they're going to die back down to the base every year and then come back from the crown at the base. So the most important thing is that when you transplanted it at the same level and not any shallower than what you did. Then what I would do is I would actually just cut those branches right down. cut them right down to ground level.
Okay.
If you have a place that there's lots of snowfall there, that's the only reason why I would keep the branches up, is maybe catch a little bit more snow. But in the springtime, if you don't want to do the cutting back now, you're going to cut it right back down to the ground. Now, with the peonies, it's really important that you don't pull the leaves out, because they'll feel like soft, because you might damage the little tips that are under the ground. You want to cut it right off at ground level, and then it's going to come back every year that way.
Okay. All right. That's cool to know. Jamie's second text says, I have two water lilies I'd like to keep. How do I do that? They're drying out. Do I need to keep them in a water source?
So what I usually do is I'll get two garbage bags and I'll put them in a garbage bag. I'll drain them out maybe on the side of my pond. You want to have a little bit of moisture in there, but you don't want them to be sopping wet. And then keep them in cold storage. And then about every once a month, go and check on them and make sure you add just a little bit of water into that bag.
Mm.
And that's all you have to do.
Really? Cold storage meaning like just, you know, like above freezing, but like 5-6 degrees?
Yeah, something that stays around between 3 and 5 degrees, 3 and 10 degrees consistently.
Could it be a fridge?
It could be a fridge if you wanted to as well.
That might.
Yeah.
Some people, that's the only choice you've got, right? Yeah. Like, there's not a lot of new houses that have
a cellar or a
cold storage.
Yeah,
that's a,
absolutely.
You know.
Some people have like a concrete, open concrete wall in like a furnace room or something. They'll put it up against store. Maybe they have a heated garage that they just keep. Like my garage, I just keep it like between 5 and 10 degrees. So maybe a far corner of my heated garage would be perfect.
Right. A little cooler in the corner kind of thing. Okay. There you go.
Or if you have, if you have a non-heated garage, you could put them right up against where, if it's attached to the house, just put them right up against the foundation of the house and just throw some insulation or something up against them so that they get some warmth coming from the house to keep them at that temperature.
Right. The rest of the garage will be colder than that, but it'll get a little bit of warmth.
Yep.
Okay.
So Rick, I brought my Japanese maples. They were in my pots on my front step, and I also had a bunch of cannas, and I cut my cannas down, and my Japanese maples, I brought them into the garage because I'm going to winter them over that way this year. And it's so funny. They've actually all started to sprout new growth. My cannas are almost like 2 feet tall now again. They're not going dormant. So
I need to... It's a little too warm
in there, so I'm going to move them to the other side of my garage and where they can, and decrease the watering a little bit more on them. I might even lift them out of that soil so that they can just stay dormant and they stop growing in that soil. So,
The important thing you said is don't water them. Just give them very, very little water so that they don't go bone dry, but you want them to be dry.
Yeah, and those pots were so wet when I put them into the garage. So that's probably why they're starting to grow again. So it's just interesting, like the different places that I have them in my garage. I had them more towards right by the heater, so I definitely have to move them to the other side of my garage where it's a little bit cooler.
Makes sense. Let's go back to our conversation for a second before the break about Christmas trees.
Yes.
And talk a little bit about what varieties are coming, because they're, you know, years gone by, there's been choice.
Yeah. So this year we only have the Fraser fir Christmas trees. And Rick, do you want to just touch a little bit on sort of the cycle of Christmas trees and why we're only able to get some certain varieties?
With 1 minute to go, Rick.
Yeah, about four or five years ago, there was a crop failure out in the East Coast, you know, around, you know, Quebec and Maritimes and those kind of places. And so, and it's been taking, it takes 10 years to grow a tree at least. So we're in that cycle right now where we're just trying to catch up, and all the Christmas tree growers who grow them actually in nurseries are just behind because there was just that crop failures. And so, right now it just cycles around. Sometimes there's balsam firs and sometimes there's Fraser firs, and it all depends on the area, what you're going to get them. But it's going to take a few more years to get back. So there is going to be still shortages. Because we couldn't get as many as we wanted this year. So there still will be shortages for a few more years.
Okay, so that's when we're going to see this year.
Yeah, so the Fraser fir is the only tree. The other thing that we usually have 12-foot trees, and this year the tallest tree that I have is a 9-foot.
So it's a 9-foot.
It's a 9-foot tree. Usually they're a little bit taller than 9 feet, but that's the tallest I have this year.
Okay, just the way it goes. So... anybody's got a really tall house, it's just going to be easier to get the angel on top.
Put it on a stand.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get back to texts from Sue and Larry as soon as we get back. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Time for a news update here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. A foggy start, but hey, green is the color today. Go Riders, go. It is the Grey Cup. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, watching it with my grandpa today. We're going to take, I think, sweet and sour ribs and some rice and some homemade stuff over to his place and have a meal and watch. Got any plans tonight, Jill?
I think me and the kids are just going to watch the game, and we're going to do a little bit of baking and, just kind of hang out.
And Rick, they actually get the Riders over there in BC still, right? You going to have the game on?
Yeah. No, I got a subscription to Sportsnet, so we'll have it on. And we have, there'll be about 10 of us here, and even some people that came up to celebrate with us from the mayor from Newfoundland. So we're going to all celebrate and have fun watching the game today.
Good. Awesome. Sounds good. Let's go to our text line. We'll catch up with some texts that have come in. This is a great text, and it's from Sue, who's at Eagle Lake. Says, good morning. In these shorter daylight hour days, can using full spectrum grow lights replace sunshine? If yes, how close above the plant should it hang and how long should the lights be on for? Also, as grow lights produce less intensive heat than the sun, should watering considerations be, less volume, less frequent? So this is a great conversation.
This is a great conversation. It's actually been something that has sparked my interest a little bit over the last few weeks, and I've been doing a bit more reading about it too. So grow lights are almost a must if you want to keep a houseplant thriving indoors. Even the panes that you have in the window is going to be an indirect light. So if something says bright direct light and you have the sun shining through a window in a house, it's already indirect. Then you take it a foot away from the window and you're even further. Then you're even further that way. So having a full spectrum light is really important. Now, you have to also watch. There's different types of grow lights. I mean, lots of people are buying them on Amazon and everywhere. And the word that she's looking at is full spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can even get further into figuring out how many lumens there is and everything like that. But if you're getting a full spectrum grow light, you want to have it sit about, I would say, 12 inches above your plant, and that's probably about max. And then you can sort of see, depending on what type of plant it is, you might want to move it closer. If you are growing seedlings, you'll want to have it closer yet. So if you have a variegated plant, it will require a little bit more light to keep it variegated.
But as a general rule of thumb,
I would say about 12 to 14 inches above your plant.
Above a normal average house plant.
Or you can put it a little bit closer if you want to. But watch your plant and see how it's reacting. If you notice it's getting a little bit of browning on the leaves, it might just be that you have that light too close. It's getting a little bit burnt.
There's two things I want to mention. Is like if you're in a home with new windows in it, even some of the newest glass windows like cut UV light down. Like you could have that plant right in front of the glass, but there's a lot of the UV that gets cut down by the modern windows
and
that they put in the houses.
Triple pane windows here too, right? So there's all of that you have to consider.
Right.
Now, as far as amount of hours you want, and a lot of those grow lights have timers on them. Mm-hmm. I would set them for 12 hours minimum a day, and 14 hours would be ideal. So 12 to 14 hour daylight hours would be ideal. Now, if you're wanting a plant to go dormant in the winter, you, of course, maybe would want to have that maybe around that 6 to 8 hours if you want, like, maybe you have some geraniums in a basement or something like that. But if you are just keeping your regular houseplants, I would say about 12 to 14 hour is when you want what you want to set your lights at.
So when we got...
It's kind of interesting, too, because in the last, 10 years right now, especially with the whole thing of growing cannabis in greenhouses, there's been so much more research done with lights, and now they're even actually putting some mini...
Uh-oh.
We lost you, Rick.
We lost Rick. Hang on a sec. Rick's disappeared.
I don't know where he was going with that, but I know that there is a lot more options that you can get with lights and LED lights and strip lighting that you can get. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that you're looking is just check the lumens of light that they have and that they're full spectrum.
The other part that Sue was asking about was, does this change,
how
watering?
You water.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with houseplants is everybody's place is different depending on how much humidity you have in your home, how much airflow you have, how much light you have. All of those things come into play with how much you should be watering your plant. Most houseplants like to dry out slightly between waterings. So you want to stick your finger down into the soil about 1 to 2 inches down, and it should feel slightly dry to the touch before you water it. A lot of times what we have with the houseplants is they're in a pot, and the bottom of the root ball will stay quite moist and will keep watering it, and then you'll get lots of root rot in the bottom of your pot, which will deteriorate the life of your plant.
Okay, let's get, I think we got Rick figured out. Where'd you go, Rick? You disappeared.
I don't know. It also made a fun, bunch of funny noises and I'm gone.
Okay, well, we got you back. Okay, yeah, so that's great. I actually just got a text just talking about this grow light thing. Ian says we put in all triple pane coated windows, needed the grow lights.
Yes.
Says Ian. He also says brisket, nachos grande, and pizza today.
Awesome. So. Love that formula.
That's great. Thanks, Ian.
But there's so many neat grow lights that you can get, and they actually look quite aesthetically pleasing too. So you can get a grow light that just is on a stake and it's got kind of a ring on the top of it, and you stick it into your plant and it just kind of hovers above your plant, and it almost will brighten up that corner of your room too. So maybe you have a darker corner, it adds a little bit of light and ambiance to your room too.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Okay, we've got a call and then we'll get back to the text. So right now we're going to talk to Jackie. Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Where are you calling from? I couldn't recognize the name.
Tagaski.
Where do we find that? Where's that near?
It's about an hour northwest of Moose Jaw, and it's about 20 minutes from Lake Diefenbaker.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes more sense. Cool. What is your question for us today, Jackie?
Yeah, I purchased two shrubs this summer, and I planted them next to the house. And I was wondering what I can do to ensure their survival over winter.
What type of shrubs are they?
Well, one's a honeysuckle and one's a Spirea,
yeah. So basically up against the house like that, there's both of those, they're very hardy. So there's not a whole lot you need to do as long as they're going to get good snow cover for the wintertime. So if you have for part of the wintertime, the snow blows away from that spot, just throw some snow over top of them. But that's all you really need to do. If the ground's still not frozen, you could just take a pail of water and give them a shot of water right now. And that's really all you need to do.
Both those varieties are pretty hardy varieties, so you should be fine. The one thing that I would add in there, too, is on the south side of my house, I find that the snow melts very quickly in the spring, and then we get some really cold days, too. So if you're having those freeze-thaws in the early spring, just throw some extra snow on them for the first couple of years while they're getting rooted in.
Oh, okay. The house is facing the north, so...
You should be fine, then. Yep. There'll be lots of snow there.
Yeah.
You pick tough ones, though. It's good, so...
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Okay, thanks for your help.
Take care, Jackie.
All right. Yeah, bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, well, sneak in one more text here before we got to go to our last break. This is Larry, who's in North Battleford. What are the best Christmas lights to put on an outdoor yard? Blue spruce and pine tree. Trees are about 15 feet tall. So, I mean, that's, you know, 15 feet tall is a bit tough to get to with a ladder. You can, right?
I've been sort of watching little TikTok videos of people decorating their trees outside because I just love the way it looks at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And they put them on a long pole with almost like a reel at the top of them. And then they're kind of rolling them around
as they walk around the tree.
Which I think that's what I've determined from watching these videos is that seems like the most efficient way to do it. But Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably want to do an LED rather than an incandescent. I don't even know if they make the incandescent ones anymore.
Yeah, they do, but LEDs are more efficient. They don't have any heat to the bulbs themselves, and they'll last way longer. They won't break as easy and those kind of things as well. So it's I suggest doing that, and just be careful. I mean, I know in Saskatoon there's one household that what they do is they put a ladder sort of hanging from a string from the eaves trough, and then they have a stuffed grandpa hanging from his hands from the eaves trough.
Sort of a Christmas vacation style thing. Yeah,
this could be you.
Yeah, Clark Griswold moment. Yeah. you know, there's another option too. I was thinking if you don't want to get up on the ladder or, you know, get the big pole out or something like that, there are also some projectors that you can put on the ground that you can find at different big box stores that are kind of like a laser projector that you can aim at the tree. And I've actually seen them turn out pretty good. You know, especially when the tree gets some snow on a pine tree or a spruce tree and there's lots of white to reflect off of, they can look pretty, pretty good too, as an alternative.
Now, if you're wanting to be hardcore at this, you can contact a lighting company, and they have controllers that you can put on the trees that will make them change different colors. Mm-hmm. If you want to get inspired, you can go to the Festival of Trees. I know that's a great fundraiser in support of the hospital foundation. So go. I know they just did the walk on Friday night. So you can walk through the Festival of Trees, but you can get ideas on how to decorate your outdoor space that way. Rick, when you're wrapping the trees, is there anything that you could do to damage your tree if you're wrapping them too tightly or anything like that, or tacking them to the tree, or is it pretty safe?
No, the biggest thing is some people leave their lights on the trees all the time, and you got to let the tree grow. So you have to make sure they're not tied tight so that it actually cuts as the tree grows, it cuts the bark off and cuts the sap off. That's the main thing if you leave it on. If most people take them off every year and then store them and put them back up again, it's not a problem.
Okay. Okay, good to know. Let's take a quick break. We've got more text to finish up the show with. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Go Riders Go! Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We got Rick on the phone. He's in Kelowna. Jill's here in the studio with me, and it's still really foggy outside.
So. Quite foggy. Yeah. I thought it would have sort of let up by now, but no.
So just be careful on the roads out there.
I'll give you an update. That herd of bighorn sheep, there's about 100 of them now, but some of them came right through the front yard.
So wow.
And when they come down the side of the mountain, it's just quite something. They're so agile when they come down the side of the mountain. I'm sitting in my vehicle out in my front driveway and here at the house we're staying at on West Side Road. And it's quite amazing. All the fire came through here about an hour and a half ago, so a lot of the trees
a year and a half ago, not an hour and a half.
Oh, sorry, a year and a half ago, yeah. Yes. And so it's you can see for a ways, and there's a lot. I couldn't believe there's that many bighorn sheep right in front of me.
Awesome. Let's go to the text line, 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's think the next one is Dale.
Rick, we're going to have to do a segment on what's deer and sheep resistant for that property.
Yeah. No kidding. Dale's in Laird and says, I've sprouted 3 avocado seeds with grow lights. Mm-hmm. How high can I expect those plants to get in my house? An avocado plant.
I've seen the avocado plants grow in the house, and they've been sitting there about 6 feet tall.
Whoa, so, okay.
They can get quite large, but will they get avocados on them? That's my question indoors. I don't know if we can provide the right light conditions, but you're putting a grow light on it. Make sure you keep that grow light quite close to the plant as it's growing so you don't have stretching on the plant. Because otherwise what you're going to find is you're going to have the seedling. It's going to have this long, skinny stem, and you're going to get little leaves on the top of it. So you want to have the grow light
quite close.
So that you don't have that stretching. I haven't had success having the avocado grow much more than a year or two in my household before we sort of forget about it. Summer comes and then things move on. So if any of our listeners have any experience with making that little seed grow better, I would be curious to see what your expertise is. But I mean, when I go to Florida and I'm looking at the tropical plants there, they have avocado trees and that they're selling to nurseries, and they're sitting about 6 feet, 6 to 7 feet tall. They're in about a 2 to 3 gallon pot, and they're selling them in their nurseries just like they would, like we do our fruit trees.
So. Okay, good to know. Irene's in the text line. She's from Martinsville. Good morning. Transplanting strawberries. Would northeast side of the house work in a garden bed?
Mm. Your strawberries, you're going to get lots of green leaves in a northeast location and not very many strawberries. South or west exposure would be ideal for a strawberry patch.
Yeah, so probably if you want strawberries, and that's the whole point of having them.
You might get a few flowers in, but you're going to get lots of lush leaves in that location. But
make sure you do some trimming so that if the leaves get larger because they're trying to catch light, that the light can still get into where the strawberries are ripening better.
So you want hot, you want heat for strawberries, is
you
that
want
right?
Heat and lots of sunlight.
Lots of sunlight. Mm-hmm. Okay. In fact, I know of a family member who's got a really awesome strawberry patch that just keeps coming and coming and coming, and it's like half the size of this room, honestly. But it's in a backyard that faces south, and it's also next to a very white vinyl fence, which I think reflects some more sun. So the strawberries coming out of that patch are incredible.
Yeah. And if you think about like the strawberry ranches that you see, they're usually in right open fields out in the prairies, and that's usually where you see them thriving. So think of where like In the people who are growing them to for production, how are they growing them for success? A nice open area, well-drained soil. They're mulching them with the base with some straw so that they keep the moisture around the plant, and lots of sunlight.
Here's a good question. At least this comes to my mind, is what we can assume that every fruiting plant that we grow in Saskatchewan wants lots of heat. Is there any exceptions?
No, not
really.
Not really.
Okay, so the answer is, if you want to grow fruit on something, it's got to have lots of sunshine, lots of heat.
If you're growing a leafy vegetable, like maybe lettuce, herbs, those types of things, then yeah, put it in the east location. That would be fine.
That's about the exception. All right, there you go, Irene. Hope it helps you out. This is next text is from Sally, who's in Saskatoon. It says, happy Sunday. I have a tree that's losing its bark. It's a black ash. It's also battling psyllids, is that what it's called? Seem to be getting less each year, which is good. But what do you think is causing the bark to peel off? We did get a couple pictures in. I know you can't see them, Rick, but Jill's here.
I know exactly, because I have some that did the same thing on my place. So, I mean, the psyllid brings a little fungal with it as well, a lot of them times. And so what's happening is that the tree is suffering, and then you're getting some loss of death of the bark and the wood just inside the bark. So basically what's going to happen is that probably in the next 3 to 5 years, that tree will totally die completely. So start me thinking basically right now is that what kind of tree can I replant in that area? Because you will eventually, just like I had when that happened, when the cottony psyllid came through, is that eventually that tree will die.
That's too bad. It's a nice tree.
It's quite a large tree, Rick, that we're looking at. It looks like it's at least 12 to 14 inches around in diameter.
And so. In a front yard, in a lawn with a little, edging around it.
Exact same as mine, and my sister's was the same thing. But think of when you're going to replace a tree, don't think about putting an ash in, because we have another insect coming through called the emerald ash borer, which will take out the rest of the ash trees. So look for a maple or an oak tree or a linden, something that, we don't have the insects that are going to affect them.
We're going to jump in right there. That's pretty much wraps it up for today. We got through all the texts, all the calls. I guess the last thing I'm going to say is let's hope the guys in green can
go green,
pull it off tonight. Looking forward to the game. Hope you guys are watching. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.